Mercy and peace be unto you, from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen.
The consistory has the following announcements. All catechism classes will start on Tuesday at 7 p.m. as an opening of the season here in the sanctuary. And the youth group plans to meet on Wednesday evening at 8, and on Thursday evening there will be a Dutch service at 7:30, all things the Lord willing. And the collections today are for the church and the education fund.
We'll continue our service by singing 217, the stanza 1 and 2. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. And second, O Lord, our Savior, help and glorify thy name. 1 and 2, 217. Holy Scriptures can be found in the Gospel of John, verse 1 through 30, Dave, 1 through 30, the first chapter, 1 through 30, but before the 12 articles and after that we read the Heidelberg Catechism, the Lord's Day, 11, John 1, 1 through 30, 12 articles and after that the Lord's Day, 11.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Question 29. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior? Answer. Because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins, and likewise because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Question 30. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? Answer, they do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only Deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they, who by a true faith receive the Savior, must find all things in him necessary to their salvation.
Let's seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Lord, I have a question. Please, keep us by thy truth that never vanishes, that never changes, that is faithful to believe thy word. That we wouldn't listen to the desire of the flesh and human desires, but that we, by grace, in listening and speaking, might have one desire, Jesus and Him crucified, to please Thee. And Lord, remember our youth. Probably some say it's old-fashioned here. But truth never changes. Truth is always the same truth. For thou art the same yesterday, today and forever. And thou art the truth. And Lord, therefore we ask that thou would open the hearts by convicting grace and by covering grace. By thy dear Son, in whose name thy people rest. Be with every one of us, remember the sick and afflicted, those who can't come because they are at home in sickness or have traveled far away. Lord, remember the students, teach them where to go and what to do. We pray for Zach, who doesn't know. Make thy ways clear to him. Remember him in mercy, not to please man. For today they like it and tomorrow they hate you. But to give him a desire in Christ to please thee, to serve thee and be a witness of thee. We pray for the young couple that is married and his husband and wife now are attending the service. Give them a third reliable bond in the heavenly bridegroom to be the brides. Remember every one of us in trouble and family brokenness and other things. Ach, Lord, it's too much to tell thee thou knowest everything. The depths of our hearts, the burden of our load, the impossibilities of our endeavors. But have mercy upon us in thy dear Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, open the doctrines of grace, and like our fathers collected them out of the Scriptures, and that thou mightest apply it by a true saving faith to our souls. Him to be believed, by which we must be saved. Have mercy upon us. Lord, we have to say we forfeited it, but mercy makes the difference. Be merciful to us, sinners, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Congregation, the Lord's Day 11 starts with the Savior, by faith engrafted in Him, and now we speak about His names. In the first place, we speak about His personal name, Jesus. Jesus. You find the same name in the Old Testament in Joshua. Joshua, or Jesus, is the same name. The one is Hebrew and the other is Greek. And it means this, making room when you're in a narrow place. Making room. That's Jesus. He makes place, room, for those who are in a narrow place. So in the Old Testament, the name is mentioned. Let me give an example. Did Moses bring the people in Canaan? Moses brought them to the border. But Joshua brought them in Canaan. Moses brings us to the border. But Joshua brings, Jesus brings us in the promised land. So already in the Old Testament, you find the name Jesus, Joshua. It's a type of him that is the man, by the grace of God, who leads his people into the promised land, like I said. Now, we'll deal with first the name. Why do we have names? To distinguish the one from the other. But why did the Lord give a name to his Son who became flesh? To show us who he is. He who makes room, he who saves his people, said the Lord. Gabriel said it to Joseph. And his name will be Jesus, for he will save his people from sin. You're saved if you're saved from sin. Therefore his name is Jesus, and we'll deal with first sin and then to be saved by the Lord Jesus. Well, congregation, and then we come to the next question in the Heidelberg Catechism, that is, you may boast in the name Jesus, but if you expect something more than Jesus alone, than the Lord Jesus alone, you deny him with the acts, with the deeds. And then he is not a full Savior. Then it's not Jesus alone, solo Christo, Christ alone. And it's always happened. Especially if you look to the letter of Paul to the Galatians in Rome, they wanted to add the law and legal works for salvation's sake, add to the name of Jesus. Returning to the law to prove to be converted, to keep the ceremonial law, the sacrifices, the distinguishes. Things. Well, congregation, then you boast with your mouth in him, but you are a traitor of his glorious name if you don't have everything like we had this morning preached in him. Everything in him. Everything in him. There's always been a text, and I'll deal with it. For some people have said to me, you need to have good works. I was always tried by it. Let me read, and I'll, at the end, will explain this text for us a bit more. For other foundation can no man lay. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15. Than is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Not if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire. Therefore shall try the fire shall try every man's work. And if any man's work will abide, which he has built upon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, as through fire. So even if you have built upon that foundation, I come back to it, wood, hay, and stubble, the fire will burn it, but you will be saved, laying at the bosom of Jesus. So this text for us in 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15, really proves that only Christ is a full Savior, and that you can be saved even if you have built on it wood, hay, and stubble. If you didn't build upon it gold, silver, or stones, what's the difference? Gold, silver, and stones were a part of the temple. Therefore, the next verse, 16, says, "Ye are the temple of God." So gold, silver, and stones are proceeding from Christ. You first receive them to build. But wood, hay, and stubble is your own work. Can't stand the fire. Therefore, congregation, he gives before you build. It's by grace rewarded, and not by your own works. It's important to teach, because we always want to add some work to the work of Christ. We want to mix it. But I'm a rotten sinner, totally depraved, but Christ is my righteousness, always and for all. And outside of him, I have nothing. Therefore, he is called the all in all. That's grace. I remember a black man, a Ghanese from Ghana, and I told him about sovereign grace, and that's all in Christ. And he said, "Yeah, but Pastor, I have to prove it." I said, "How far are you then?" And I told him the sufficiency of Christ by obeying the law, by paying my debt. By me and my new man. Do you know, the moment he saw it, he started glancing. He said, "That's all I need. Christ and him crucified." And congregations, same today. They press out your bit of juice, but the juice is terrible. But his blood saves you from all sins. That's our first thing, and then we continue with the explanation. That's 50, 1, 2, and 3. 50, 1, 2, and 3. Come ye that fear Jehovah, ye saints, your full voice is raised. And what's following? 1, 2, and 3, 50. congregation we deal this afternoon, in the first place with the name Jesus. That's his personal name, the name of his mediatorship, his person as mediator. Later on we will deal with the name of his offices, prophet, priest and king. But first, his name. Who gave him his name? And why do we have a name? Now, we have a name to distinguish the one from the other. But there is only one mediator, and he doesn't need the name to be distinguished. There's only one Savior, the Lord Jesus. But God the Father gave him his name, Jesus. And Gabriel said it to Joseph, Matthew 1. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from sin. It's a command to call him Jesus. To call upon him is the Lord. But it's also a promise, for the Father says he will save his people from their sins. Therefore his name is Jesus. The Father says, I send him to save my people from their sins. And all about him is Jesus. His hands are mediator hands to carry. His heart is a mediator heart to love his people. His eyes are mediator eyes when he looks upon you and sees your misery. His ears are mediator ears, for he hears your sighing and your crying. His feet a mediator feet to bring to you the good tidings of salvation. All about him is Jesus. He and all what's in and about him is Jesus, Savior from sins. And therefore when Joseph got the Lord Jesus in his arms when he was born, he said, my Jesus, my Savior. The Father has said, thou art my Jesus, the Savior of my sins. By giving him the name, like the Father has given him, he confesses him as the Savior of his sins, for the glory of God the Father and the salvation of his own name. Therefore his name is a promise. His name is a promise. His name is a promise to be believed. Well, he saves his people. He doesn't save the whole world. He saves his people who he got from the Father from eternity. He says, I'm not praying for the world, I'm praying for those thou hast given me. John 17. His people. And he owned them in the council of peace. He got them from his Father. And he owned them with all they had in the council of God. In congregation to continue, he was born to be their substitute and he paid the penalty. He set them free by the sacrifice at the cross. And he indwelt his people by his Spirit to own them by the Spirit of adoption, my Father and your Father. Well, congregation, he is the Savior of sin, from sin, to take away all the sin from you. to make you a new creature in Christ, sinless creature in Christ. He is born of God, says John, cannot sin. Pastor, stop it. No. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. In Christ, not in yourself. And in Christ, you cannot sin. You cannot sin. In Christ, in yourself you can. Luther says, I am under the law with my flesh. But in Christ, I'm above the law, he says. Not better than the law, but the law can touch me, he says, if I'm in Christ. Covered with his righteousness. Making my clothes white with the blood of Lamb by faith. Now that's Savior. From all our sins. What are sins? It's an expression, isn't it? And if I speak to you and say, yeah, sin, you say, yeah, what sin, what sin, what sin? Now in the first place, it's paraptoma, it's going across the border, across the fence. What's the fence? There's a law. Within the law, there is peace. But if you cross the fence, that's the paraptoma, that's the trespass. You trespass, and that's your death. Trespass the commands. Trespass the fence. In the Dutch we say the turn. The turn is the fence. So if you trespass a command by word, deed, or thought, you sin. Severely, says later on the Catechism, against all the commandments of God. I've heard some people say, yeah, but Pastor, I haven't sinned against this and that commandment. Foolishness to say it. You have sinned against all the commands of God severely. In word, deed, thought. And therefore you are worthy of condemnation. Me too. First. Secondly, sin is hamartia. Not only trespass, but also sin. And hamartia means not going to the purpose. Not being purposed towards God. Now, let me say, you might give money to the poor, but if it's not purposed towards God, it's a sin. If you don't do it for the glory of God, it's a sin. That's hamartia. It's an arrow that doesn't reach the goal. And what's our goal? Living unto the glory of God. And what sin? Not living to the glory of God. You might do everything you want. Having charity for the poor. Helping those who are help needed. But if it's not for the glory of God and not by love, it's just sin. We are created in the image. We are created to glorify as the jewel of creation, our God. And therefore the Bible says, I'm not doing it for you, but I'm doing it for my own name's sake. And Augustine said that our shining sins, doing good works, not for the purpose of God, not in communion with Christ. Augustine said they are just shining sins. The world thinks you're a converted man, but you're only doing it for your own purpose. Let me give an example. If you give money for the church and your right hand knows what your left hand does, you do it for your own sake. But if you do it in secret, it might be for the glory of God. So sin is farther stretching than just trespass the commandments. It's not glorifying God like you did in paradise. That's sin. That's not, and again, coming to your purpose. Missing the goal for what God created you for. Well, congregation, then we can go by some people say the Jews thought that your mind cannot sin. Sin is only a sin, said the Jews, if it's an act. Your mind not. But the Lord Jesus says your desires are sin. You're totally depraved. The flesh desires against the spirit. It doesn't subdue to God. And you'll say, Pastor, but I can't rule my mind. No, you can't. But out of the heart comes forth lies, treason, filthy lucre, dirty desires. May I ask you, I have a question. Can you put a lid on your heart? Can you? I've tried it. But I can't put a lid on my heart. Out of my heart comes forth. And the desires are more than the words. Sometimes you can just stop your mouth, bridle your mouth. God might bridle them. That it doesn't bring forth what you think. A fool always brings forth what he thinks. That's a fool. But David says, bridle my mouth in the presence of the ungodly. I can't even trust my mouth, he said. Is here a sinner in our midst who can't even trust his dirty mouth? And then your deeds. If the desire receives, then the deeds are coming. Therefore, the Lord said to Esau, he says, you should rule your desires. Now, Pastor, that young man called me, I said, yesterday from Holland, and he says, Pastor, I can't rule my desires. I'm totally ruined. I said, oh, I said, there is one who can rule you. That's the Spirit of God through Christ. And even sometimes, he let you go for a bit, taking his hands from you to show you who you are in the depths of your total depravity for grace's sake. And one thing, and then some people say to me always, I'm a thief and therefore I should say it different. Some people say to me, I have stolen, therefore I am a thief. Are you agreeing? That's religion. That's not conviction. Do you know what's the Bible? You're a thief, and therefore you steal. That's conviction. I am sin. Therefore, I sin. Therefore, the Bible teaches the total depravity of man. I know you don't like it. Even ACE courses say you should be a goody-goody, and you're not, eh? AC was a goody-goody, isn't it? The Lord Jesus says that he even didn't trust his disciples for it. He knew what's in man. Lord Jesus had a very lonely life, for he even couldn't trust his disciples. Think about it. And really, it happened. Judas betrayed him, and Peter cursed him in the days of his suffering. But grace rules anyways for his people to save them from sin. Why do you say this, old pastor? You make it so impossible. No, now it's possible. But if you try to improve yourself to get grace, that's impossible. You bring them under the law. And I've seen people bringing them under the law. I had a talk with a man yesterday about preaching, and I said to him, he says, you have to. I said, is that your preaching, having and nothing and doing and going? Is that all you preach? I say, there is no fruit in it than sin. If you preach the law, you make inner resistance against it. I tell you this. When Boston preached in his first congregation, he used the law many a time. And do you know what was? The youth became not be able to be handled. If you preach the law, people resist and invoke enmity. And then he got to know Christ more in his second congregation. And he started to preach the gospel. And do you know what happened? People got to be convicted and cried for mercy. He preached Christ to him crucified. A fulfilled law. A sacrifice for sinners. For such sinners as I am. How can you stand if that's impressed upon your soul? Tell me. Repentance renews, says Luther in the first article of the 95 thesis. Repentance is the power, he said, of sanctification. Repenting my sins, hating sins, but the grace of God in Christ, love and righteousness, renews my life. But if you say you have to, and you must, and you are, and you do, and throw it in the bin, on the dunghill, all your righteous works, self-righteous works, it's enmity and cross of the Lord Jesus. Pastor, now there is someone who doesn't want to give up here. He says, yeah, can you live then what you do? You do it anyways. But probably you do the same things as the world behind the curtains. Behind the curtains. The neighbor shouldn't see it. There's no one good. We have before accused the Jews and the heathen. Are we better? In no way we are no better. I've told you many times, and you will say to me, always say the same things. As long as I am, I can't speak different. I won't speak different. But to tell you one thing, you can't please God. There is one who pleases God. That's Christ. And when you're in Christ, you please your God. This is the word God of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. Well, congregation, so we are sin. All that proceeds out of us is sin by nature. And all what proceeds out of Christ is righteousness by grace. If you're a child of God, you're 100% a sinner and 100% having saving grace in Christ. 100% a sinner and 100% having saving grace and righteousness in Christ. Not 50-50. Not 70-30. Not 99-1. He saves His people from sin. How? By substitution. He is what I'm not. He does what I can't. Obey the law perfectly instead of me. And He pays what I can pay. My debts towards God. When He cried out at the cross, it is finished. Again, I've said it many times and I'm not going to it again, but He is what I'm not. He is my substitute, a new man. And when I'm in Christ, I'm a new man in Christ. A good tree, a branch of the stem. Secondly, He obeys the law for me, which I can't, perfectly, gloriously, and holy. And He has paid all my debts by His precious blood to wash all my sins away. Do you know it? To save me from all my sins. And congregation, less can satisfy God. More you don't need to. Enough is enough. Have an all in Him, Jesus, my substitute. He says, let me change. I take your spot. You may take my spot. I take your curse. You might have my blessings. I take your dirty works, your blasphemous works. You may have my glorifying God works. My purpose to glorify my Father in me. Oh, congregation, it's all in Him. It's all by Him. And what's all in Him and by Him is all unto the Father, by which you must be saved. Some people say, if you look to this text, by which you must be saved, they make it the gospel a law, but the word must. You see it here in one of these verses. You must be saved, says the Bible, by Him. That's not a must for us, for our sake. It's a must by God. God says there's only one way. You must be saved by my Son. There is no other way. It's a must. And secondly, I have heard people say, now I know that I can be saved. People, that's not biblical. I know what you're saying. If for the first time you see and hear the gospel as a convicted sinner, you say, oh. But God's people can be saved. They must be saved by God. He wants them to be saved. from his eternal purpose. Therefore, he had to go through Samaria for that Samaritan woman. She must be saved. Every people of God in this world must be saved. There is a name given above all names by which he must be saved. People in Malawi, from eternal election, must be saved. And it's not a condition that we can fulfill. Don't scream so loud, you're right. But if it's not a divine must, there is no salvation, people. There is no salvation. If they teach you that you can make a choice, yes or no, it's a lie to the bottom. For you always will choose against God. That's your choice in paradise. But there is a divine necessity. God wants his people to be saved from sin. And that's my hope. God wants his people to be saved from sin, to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. New creatures, new Adams, as if they had never sinned nor done any evil. It's what God wants, congregation. Therefore, I'm hopeful in preaching. The numbers might dwindle, but God's people must be saved. And I'll use the ministry for it, I'm so sure. More sure than the world stand this moment. For it's a time of jeopardy and fear. All the elements are ruining. But God's people must be saved. Will be saved. Must be saved. God says, they must, my son, be saved by you, by the application of a true faith in Christ and the sealing of the Holy Ghost. Let's sing 283, 2 and 3. 283, 2 and 3. Where we will sing, oh, come my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless his holy name. And 3. No, I'm wrong. Good is the Lord and full of kind compassion. That's 2 and 3. His love is like a father to his children. 2 and 3, 283. what is it to seek it somewhere else then? If he is a full Savior and all in all for his people, what is it to seek it somewhere else then? It's dishonoring God the Father who gave his Son. If you seek it somewhere else, it's dishonoring God the Father who gave his people his Son. Strange, isn't it? We always want to seek it somewhere else. God is good, people say, but we take him for the last. When all your hope is gone, you have sought it here and found it there, and your behavior and thoughts. But it's blasphemous not to seek it then only in him. If you seek it somewhere else, it's blasphemous. And we do by nature. Therefore, we ought not to seek, and we can't find it somewhere else. It's not to be found. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given or person among men by which we must be saved. No other man. Stop it. Seeking it outside of Christ. In your tears. In your so-called conversion. In your betterment. It's only in Christ received by a true faith. And he is ready to save. He offers peace and pardon. Why do you seek it else, friend, there? Fool that you are. To be fit for grace. You never be fit, then it's no grace if you are fit to receive it. It's no grace. Grace is for an unfitted person to be saved from sin. And you can find it. You will seek and not find it. Seek me, he says, and live. Lord, make me seek in thee. Change it. Lord, seek me, then I'll find thee. That's it. And he's seeking the lost sheep. And he has found it. And he brought it home, laying on his shoulders. He didn't even need to walk anymore. He was resting on the sure foundation of the shoulders of the Messiah, Christ Jesus. And well, congregation, then we continue with the second question. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints to themselves or of themselves or anywhere else? They do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary for their salvation. The Bible is always black and white. It's not gray. It's all or nothing. It's white or black. It's not somewhere in between. I hope it. Yeah, then what's your hope? If it's true hope, you are sure of it. It's an anchor of the soul. But if you say, I hope it, then I'm not sure. Probably it's not the case. God knows. But congregation, you must have all things in them or nothing. Therefore the Bible says, he is my all in all. And God in heaven will be all in all. That means something, and I'm not going into it, but that means something. Even in the children of God, you'll meet their God. in awe. I can tell what it is, I can't. I know that he is my all, and I'm his nothing. I have tried to be nothing to become, that he might become my all, and I have tried to be a nothing, and I have tried and crawled over earth, and I made my all, and I tried this, and it didn't work, dear. You know, when I got to be a nothing, when he became my all. Then I became a nothing. Nothing of me, all in him. So I traveled to eternity. So it's black and white. We normally in churches don't like it so much. We like a little bit and a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. And yeah. It's white, whiter than snow, but as black as the devil. It's blind or seeing. His beauty, by faith relying, receiving him. But that's what a man doesn't want. He doesn't want to surrender all he is and has. And even after grace, like in the Galatians, the Gaulois, French people living in Minor Asia, Galatians are French people living. They went to Minor Asia, it's Turkey today. The Galatians are the Gaulois, the French people. Ah, Pastor stopped it saying, okay. But they reintroduced the law. They were saved by grace, but they were turned aside, suddenly changed. Believe in another gospel, that you need Christ and something. You need Christ and good works. That's Catholicism, that's the Jewish Phariseistic teaching. And we like it in a sense. By nature. Therefore it's easily adapted to the church. Who has turned you, who has bewildered you, who has bewitched you, says Paul. Not obeying the gospel as I have preached it. Turn to another gospel, Christ and. If it's Christ alone, do you need more than Christ? If you need more than Christ, it's not Christ alone. In those days, the false brethren came from Jerusalem. They were Phariseistic people converted, so I don't know. And they said, Paul preaches the wrong gospel. He should also preach Christ and the good works. And he says, now I know Paul speaks about things which he never should speak about. Paul says, you're bewitched. Listening to another gospel. And congregation, when the Reformation came in the Netherlands, we were all hearing the gospel, Christ, my wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. He is it, and I am it not. But in the days later, they pushed the law under it again. And I mean the law for doing and leaving, proving that you're converted. May I ask you, do you need to prove that you're converted? Then your whole conversion is worth not a penny. God will prove it. Paul says, I'm not justifying myself, he says. God justifies me. And if you're a true Christian, the fruits will. But it's are not your fruits. And the good works which are prepared from eternity in which you walk. No more and no less. Do you know what the Bible says? You give fruits in due time. There are people who have always fruits. Nature doesn't teach us these things. It's now October, and I don't know if it's done already, but now the apples are picked. Were the apples picked in the summer? You can only pick them when they are ready to be picked. God's people give fruits in due time. In God's time. First the blossom, says Paul, and then the seed. And when it's due time, the fruits fall. Do you know, early God's people said, there might be a blossom, a rose. What's a rose? A rose is a rose. He says, if you pick the blossom and you open it, it stinks. But when it's full grown, it's a rose. It smells good. My first congregation was Nederhemert. No, Leerbrook. And Leerbrook is a place where apples are growing. And pears. And many of the congregation had apple business. I asked them, what's about the apples? And it was Thanksgiving Day. I said, what are your apples? Are they your work? I said, I think that I saw you in the beginning of the year with ladders climbing against the trees and hanging little apples with threads on the branches, isn't it? And then they grew. No, they said, sure, you're right. It grows by grace. The earth brings forth fruits by itself, by the grace of God. If you make fruits work, then you dishonor God. He says, for every branch that is engrafted in me will bring forth fruits out of me. And if they bring forth fruit, he will prune you, cut your flesh, make you weak, to bring forth more fruit. And they told me that you should cut the branch to 2 centimeters from the stem. And the more to cut them, the more fruitful they are. But it are not my fruits. Are the good works prepared already to walk in? Pastor, you make us kind of, not responsible. Yeah, you're responsible. But if you think that you can do it by works, that's always what they teach me. They say, Pastor, you're preaching irresponsibility. I'm not. But they think I should preach the law, that you can answer the law. And I preach it that you can't answer the law. God answers the law for you. He brings forth fruit. My fruit will be seen in you. It's grace, not turning back to the law. And they do everywhere almost. But does it bring some fruits for you, turning to the law? Do you know what Paul says? If you turn to the law, you invoke wrath again, or into the burden again, and the sacrifice of Christ is made nothing for you. And I know, in the marriage, is a woman fruitful outside of her husband? And the bridegroom says, you will be fruitful in me, for all the fruits will be proceeding from me. Sanctification is gospel preaching. Sanctification is not it must, and you go and must and do. Pastor, you must. Okay. Tell me after a month how far you are since you say I must. Oh, come here. How long are you on that trap? Must. Where are you now then? With your must. You must, but don't do it. And even if you try to do it, it's not perfect, and God wants a must perfectly obedient. The fruits are in Christ. God made me fruitful. Indwell me by thy Spirit, which is fruitful to thy glory. All the fruits will be out of me. And if you add, so even the sanctification is a fruit of communion with Christ by the indwelling power of the Spirit. It's all in Him. And if I had to do one tear adding to it, I would spoil my whole salvation. We should give Him the honor. And God's people want to do it. When they are at their best moments, they say, out of thee, through thee, and unto thee are all things. To thee be the glory. But we want to mix our works with God's works. Our works with Christ's works. Have you ever mixed it? You make poison of it. It poisons your soul. You lose your liberty. The face of Christ is darkened. And you invoke newly the wrath of God. No, Pastor, yeah. But is there neither? I read this week some of that old minister, and he says, if you have grace, there is ongoing conviction that you only would live by grace. Ongoing conviction. Ongoing conviction. To live by Christ alone. That even your best works are filthy rags. Is here a sinner today that says, Pastor, dead I me. My good works are filthy rags. My whole life, even in Christian, as a Christian, is a filthy rag in myself. Therefore, Paul says, I have condemned the Greek and the Jew. Are we better in no sense? I said this morning, congregation, and I know it for sure. If this congregation is not a congregation of saved sinners, it's not a congregation. it's not Christ's congregation. But if we have a congregation with saved sinners, sinners in Christ, He is dwelling among us. He is covering us. He is renewing us. And we should have all in Him for time and eternity. My dear children, you think that's impossible? No. Then it's only possible. For all things are possible with Him. But if you add your works and add something of the saints, the Catholic Church says, okay, it's not Christ only, you need to have good works too. The problem in the Reformation wasn't that the Roman Catholic Church knew something about sin. They knew something about sin. But they didn't know that good works were sin. They believed they were rewarded. Now, if I would go to many Reformed churches today and would preach this gospel, do you know what they would do? Spew me out. And will spew me out. When I'm preaching, Christ is the sufficient, all-sufficient Savior for wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. It's against my flesh, for I'm born in the law, and I want to have my own things doing it. Not Kadan, and died to myself. And congregation, that's the most proficial and beneficial way to die to self, to live by a given Savior, by faith in Him. And what I live by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ is Paul. That's my life. Is He your life? Yeah, He is. Don't add something to it, dear. Confess that you are not worthy of Him. That your whole life is filthy rags and you can't bring forth any fruit out of yourself. Confess it. And He will shine upon you once more, gloriously. He says, I'm your all in all. You're all in all. And you're my nothing. Since I'm your all in all, you don't need to be more than a nothing. May God bless His word. And let us preach Christ. Believing in Him. Not seeking somewhere else your salvation. And he that knocketh, the door will be opened. You shut yourself. And he that seeketh will find. Isn't it? For He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Oh God, give me mercy. Not to seek it somewhere else. Or adding to it as helping grace. But that Thy grace might be sufficient for me. To die and to live. When I on my deathbed, I hope I have nothing more than the love of Christ and His sacrifice. In congregation, you'll say, why do you always preach that cutting? To make room, Yeshua, for Jesus. Losing all, gaining Him, is full grace. Hey dear, give it up. Stop. Leave it. That God might be made in Christ your full Savior to inherit eternal life. to be them. For one of things is true, is all or is nothing. Okay. It's black or white. It's not gray. It's not a half savior. And the rest I must do. Or first I must do and then he does. No, he cuts you to death to make you alive. By the resurrection of Christ, meet God in peace. May God bless his word and that we might experience these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, people don't like it so much to be cut, but oh Lord, it's the way to life. When everything of me is lost, then I'm saved. When I have no hope in myself anymore, he says, now I'm here. When I hear in this congregation, lost for an eternity, it will be heard here, saved for an eternity. By me, you must be saved. It's thine must. And therefore, it will happen. Help us this day, this week, when the catechism classes is starting, Dutch service, house visitation, talk with people. Remember the young couple that's married and the others who will be married if it's in thy good pleasure. In thy providential care, we pray, Lord, have mercy upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 422, 6 and 8, 422, 6 and 8, where we will sing together, 422, 6 and 8. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. And 8, remember, Lord, how frail I am, how few my years. 6 and 8, 422. that you may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ in the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.